I mentioned last week that two of our three searches for staff were in process. I can tell you today that two of the three are now secured. We will have a new organist and associate director for music that will begin early in September. Nate is his first name. He is one of the most gifted organists I have ever met. Talented, a natural ability, and I believe you will be impressed with him, and he will assist us also and be singing in our contemporary service. Also, Roxanne Minio, who has been our lead VPK teacher for many years now, she is one of our senior staff in our preschool. She never wanted to become a director. We've asked her many times. And finally, during this particular time of COVID and a transition with another director, she said, "This is my happy place. This is the school I have come to love. I want to help." And so in the matter of the last 3 weeks, she has worked tirelessly to secure all the certification and licensing that she needs to be our director of preschool. And so I am sleeping much better, as our search committees are and our HR committee. We still are looking for a children's director, a part-time role. This person oversees our nursery. I was told a couple of weeks ago, or at least I heard this past week, there was a couple that came with children a few weeks ago. I missed seeing them, but they said they needed childcare and couldn't return until they had that. If you see someone with children, let them know we're working on that, and if we know they are coming, we will do our level best to have childcare on the Sunday that they attend. It has not been a demand at present, but we are sensitive to that and want to know if people would like to come and plan to come. If they need childcare, we'll do our best to have it. And that would be three of three. True story, I was looking this past week. I had not eaten lunch when I should have, and so I ran to a local restaurant that was pretty much empty, went inside, and I said, "I'd just like to get a burger." And the lady said to me at the door, she said, "It will be 30 minutes until we can even take your order. We just don't have the employees." And so I do understand it's a difficult time to find people. And so we are very fortunate and grateful to God for answering our prayers and finding two of the three people we need just now, and we continue to press forward looking for that director of children's ministry. I begin today a series of sermons around the theme, "On the Edge of Tomorrow." All of us experience turning points in life, and this is a sermon about turning points. It's about a sermon about being in transition, and I think all of us can appreciate that with what we've been talking about this morning. There is a time that comes in life. There are moments and days in which we need to give something up or let go of the past and embrace something that is new that is coming. We will do that especially with these new staff. Transitions are part of life. Sometimes a time comes when change is appropriate, but emotionally sometimes we aren't there yet. This especially takes place when we experience the death of a loved one. It's hard to let go and it's hard to begin anew. That time comes, but it comes often in its own time. There are transition times, times in which we are anxious and waiting, like going back to school, waiting on this pandemic to be finally over, perhaps a geographical move, that we're waiting on that move to take place, but it's not here yet, we're in between. Perhaps we're waiting to go back to work, waiting to go back to the office to work, waiting as parents of children to have children go to school or young people to go off to college or start a career, waiting on a baby to be born, so on and so forth. And when we have these experiences, I believe we're on that edge, a transition time. And it is my prayer that all of us who feel on the edge just now, on the edge of tomorrow to something new, will do what this first sermon suggests, and that is to clothe ourselves in love. I think that's the best thing we can do as we go forward, to clothe ourselves in love. And that's the title of the sermon this morning. There are two readings. The first is from Colossians, a letter to the Colossians, and it has that phrase in it, "Clothe yourselves in love." Listen as I read in chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Good words. And then in the letter to 1 John chapter 3, I begin reading at verse 11, another passage about love, a love that you'll notice in the last verse I read calls for action, for action. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who was from the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be astonished, brothers and sisters, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Whoever does not love abides in death. All who hate a brother or sister are murderers, and you know that murderers do not have eternal life abiding in them. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for others. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? And here's the call to action. Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Let us pray as we come to this message. O Lord our God, as we hear these words this morning, may they call forth us not just to speak or to talk big, but may they call us forth into action, to do something, to let love shape every facet of our lives. And we pray that you will do this, for we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, it's summertime, and so I thought I would share with you a little bit about an answer to a question I sometimes get asked. How does a minister come up with his or her sermon? How do they do that? How do you get ideas for sermons? Well, the answer might be just in the time in which a pastor takes in his or her devotional life to read the scriptures, and something jumps out. It might be a word from the lectionary. The lectionary is a series of readings or lections. There are four that are assigned for churches for every Sunday of the year. And sometimes in reading those, something may jump out as well. I try to use the lectionary, especially during the high holy days in the fall and the spring, during Advent and Lent. And that way I'm not just picking my favorite passages. How does a minister get his or her ideas for sermons? The answer might be in a problem or an issue that faces the congregation or that faces us as individuals, and then that's how it comes. Or the source for the sermon might be from a current event that is so striking that it calls forth a faith response. And I've seen that. I remember after 9/11, every sermon in this nation was about that particular incident. It called forth a faith response for us as a nation. And then sometimes a subject for a sermon or a series like today comes forth from a conversation that your pastor has the week before with someone perhaps that they know, someone perhaps from church. And that happened to me this week. Lightning struck. Last week, for example, I spoke to one of our members at 11 o'clock after the service outside the church, not in the tight hallway corridors, but we were meeting outside, and Lois Ann Bilka came to me, and we were remembering together the memorial service for her husband, Bill. One of the guests who was coming out last Sunday, she was taking a lot of time in the line, and he said, "You're a professional line breaker." He said that to Lois Ann Bilka, and she laughed, of course. But we were remembering that memorial service for her husband, Bill, that took place at the end of May. We'd waited since December for that service to take place. And the next day, the Sunday, I was honored to administer the sacrament of Christian baptism to Bill and Lois Ann's great-grandson, Bruce Trey Brown, the son of their granddaughter, Melissa. and her husband James. From the time Bill died in early December to the time of his memorial service in May, it seemed like we were waiting on the edge of tomorrow. And we've done that with a number of families here in the church, waiting and waiting. We have several services that are taking place in September that were last year deaths. Waiting for tomorrow to come. Waiting for the days to celebrate life and the promise of the resurrection. And then for Bill's service to have taken place the day before his great-grandson's baptism, Lois Ann said it seemed like it was meant to be all along. It all came together. There we had waited on the edge of tomorrow, and all of a sudden the change took place and new life was embraced. I remember several years before that great-grandson arrived, meeting with Melissa and her husband-to-be, James. We were talking about their upcoming wedding. And Melissa said to me, and I've known her since she was a little girl, she said, I hope, Chris, that when the wedding comes and you're there in the service, that you will take as much time as you need to tell James and I whatever we need to hear. And I said to her, Melissa, that's a dangerous thing to say to any preacher, to take as long as you need. Well, I knew if I said anything to them in that service, it had to be about love. And so that's how this particular topic came about love. Secondly, I also chose this subject today because it's so biblical. It's at the very heart of our faith. When Jesus, you remember, summarized the hundreds of laws that had developed in Judaism, he did so by saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So our relationship with God and our actions toward others are based on love. All the laws are based on love. And our scripture reading from 1 John reminds us of that this morning. It says, clothe yourselves with love. And so love's the word. It's the most important word you could hear this morning, especially as we stand on the edge of tomorrow in any facet of life. And so I want to suggest to you this morning some ways to give shape to your love, the love in your life, and to actually then call you to do love, to put it into, help you remember how to shape your life with love. And so the first letter, S, it reminds me, I hope it reminds you, that love always sees. It always sees. Love always sees. It sees the good that's possible in others. Some folks say that love is blind. You've heard that before. That's not so. Love recognizes in another person the good that is there. And that good may seem invisible to others, but it is there. Love sees. You've heard the expression before, I don't know what he sees in her or what she sees in him. Each of them sees each other in a quite different way than you and I do. Loving someone is about seeing hidden qualities that other people may not see. And the point is that we should be able to do this with other people besides just those whom we marry. Jesus saw something in those disciples of his. As bewildered as they were, as awkward as they were, they never seemed to get it. And yet he saw in them what they might become. Love sees. Which is to say, then, shouldn't we put on a new set of eyes as we look at our children, as we look at our neighbors, as we look at others? Even when we have differences and differences of opinion about things, love sees. See the good in others. See the qualities that shine through. Secondly, if you want love to take shape in your life, the letter H reminds us to hear the other. Hear the other person. Take time to listen to the other person. It's the highest compliment you can give them, is to take time to hear them. So many times we're talking to people and they look over their shoulder, or they look at a television, or they look down at their phone when you're speaking, Everyone wants to share their opinion. They're waiting. They're thinking about what their reply will be versus really hearing you. It's hard work to give people your undivided attention, but just seek to hear them. It's hard work. It's hard work. But it's also a great compliment. I love this story. You have to listen. You have to listen to it to get it. A young woman was taken to dinner by two different men. One was William Gladstone, and the other was Benjamin Disraeli. Now, they were both prime ministers of Great Britain at one point. They were great political rivals. And the woman, this reporter, she went to dinner with one night and the other the next. And she was asked about that experience. And she said, "Well, when I left the dining room, having sat next to Mr. Gladstone, I left the dining room and I thought, he is the cleverest man in all of Britain. But then," she said, "when I went the next night to dinner with Mr. Disraeli, I left the dining room and I thought, I was the cleverest woman in all of Britain." You get it? Concentrate on hearing what others say rather than on just what you are saying. And that's working at love. That's letting love shape your life. The art of listening, the art of hearing, is something in which all of us could improve upon, especially as we come out of this pandemic, having Zoomed so much and written so many emails, to actually take time and talk and listen to one another. Third, if you want love to take shape in your life, the letter A reminds us to always seek to affirm others, to build them up, to affirm them. Tell others about the good qualities that you see in them. Don't be fake about it. Don't be insincere. Don't just make something up. But sincerely, when it's appropriate, tell them something that you're grateful for about them. Affirm them. Nothing is more encouraging than to sincerely praise another person's gifts. And I have yet ever to meet a person who was insulted or angry by a compliment that they received. So many people major in criticisms during this time. Even humor, if we are not careful, can put others down. And so you have to work at love. You have to let love shape your life. And this means to put life into others by affirming them. And so why not affirm someone this week who means so much to you? Perhaps a friend, perhaps an employee, perhaps a neighbor, a relative who is important to you. Tell them what their contribution has meant to you in life. In life. This past week, one of our members, Molly Davis, her dad was killed in a car accident in Georgia. Her dad was the general presbyter, just retired from East Tennessee Presbytery, the presbytery I was ordained in. My mother knew her dad. Her dad said to my mother, "I think your son is in Florida. My daughter's in Florida. Wouldn't it be odd if they're in the same church?" I baptized both of her children. And I was amazed going on the website on Facebook Thursday and seeing his death recorded. But then I was amazed at all the compliments, all the affirmations that came about the work that he had done in so many people's lives. It was so affirming. And I know so healing for his three daughters. Why not affirm someone today that means so much to you? Tell them what their contribution has meant to you in your life. It will mean so much and it will cost you nothing. Fourth, let love shape your life by remembering the letter P. And the letter P stands for practicing loving acts. You know all about this. You remember the book that was published a number of years ago, Random Acts of Kindness. The author of that book, she began by just scribbling that phrase on a placemat at a restaurant, and it took off. The airwaves were just covered with stories about people who began to practice random acts of kindness. And it appeared that story, that book, and acts of kindness that were being done in every paper in this nation. I remember hearing stories some years ago when the book was published about people who were going through tolls when you actually put money in them. Now that doesn't happen so much in some places, but people would put their toll in and say, this is the toll for the car behind me. And then that person would come up and their toll had been paid, a random act of kindness. Why not do something every day that is no cost to you except time and effort, maybe a little change, loose change every now and then? So, if you have been listening this morning, that is the S, H, A, and P of the word shape that can bring love in your life and love to others. But what about the last letter, E? I didn't mention E yet. Here it is. If you clothe yourself in love and find how it will shape you, discover how it will shape you, then you will learn how love endures. Endures. How love lasts. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Love is eternal. Everything else in life is temporary. Everything else rusts, decays, or is lost. But love, which is given to us from God as a great gift, has eternal quality. And as each one of us lives on the edge of tomorrow, always remember, we can take love with us even to heaven. It lasts. It's never lost. And so, are you ready? Let love shape your life, because we can love because God helps us to see the best in others. We can love because God hears us when we call for Him. We can love and let love shape our life because God affirms us as God's own very children. We can love because God practiced the most loving gift of all. God gave of God's own Son, and God couldn't do anything more than that. And we can be shaped by God's love and know that it always endures, it lasts. And so I would say to you this morning, on this hot day in August, let love shape your life. The world is really in need of it just right now. Let's pray. Oh God, help us to love, and help us to always remember that we love because You first loved us. And love is just not a characteristic of You, oh God. Love is who You are. It's who You are. And help us to remember we're made in that same image. And so shape us in love through Christ our Lord. Amen.